Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 32. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Once again, our text, those last words of verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in the Lord, we enter a new year, and what better way to enter a new year than to contemplate the word of God and this word from Jesus, in which he says his word will never pass away. This phrase that we will look at this morning is tucked away in what is called the Olivet Discourse. It is similar to the Sermon on the Mount. It is a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said many things. He had been talking about his second coming, his return in glory. And in that context, he makes this statement: heaven and earth will pass away. In other words, there is going to come an end to the heavens and earth as we know them. But then in contrast to that, he says, but my words will never pass away. And I want to look at what he says in that text this morning with you as the eternal word of the living God. Let's think about what Christ means when he says his words are eternal. Authors and great people speak or write things, and people often remember those words. If I were to say, begin by saying, 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth, and so on, you immediately would know that as a Gettysburg Address, of course. I'm glad nobody said JFK's inaugural address. But we also remember the words that John F. Kennedy said at his inaugural address: ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Those are words and speeches that remain in us. They've outlasted their authors. And truly great persons are worth quoting long after their death. None attribute, however, eternal worth to their words. Even as good as the Gettysburg Address is, it's not something that is eternal. Only Jesus attributes eternal worth to his words. He believed that his words were eternal, and we have to put our head around that concept of eternality. Think about it for a moment. They will never, ever, they are eternal. They will never pass away. Now, some who heard Jesus in his ministry thought that he was conceited or deluded. They said he was possessed of a devil. His enemies decided there was no place for his claims in their universe, and they plotted, shortly after these words were spoken, they plotted his death. His enemies did not want to hear his words, but nevertheless, great numbers of people have heard in every generation the words that Jesus spoke, not only in this passage, but in all of Scripture, and they have received his truth. His words are eternal, but the question that we must ask is, how do we know that his words are eternal? After all, Jesus, according to the Bible, lived for a mere 33 years on earth. He didn't really travel extensively. He wasn't a jet setter in his day, like we would call it today. He identified himself mainly with the lower classes of people where he lived. He only drew a handful of illiterate followers, and some were just crude fishermen. He never held public office. He didn't own a piece of property, and he lived largely off the charity of others. What would make his words so special? He lacked the formal education. He had no training. He didn't even have a library full of books. In fact, he never wrote a book. He didn't even publish his sermons. He would have been a failure today in the ministry of the church at large. But he boldly asserts in this passage that his words would outlast the heavens and the earth. And we have seen that to be true. Millions have trusted his words. The world has acknowledged the immortality of his teachings. Even unbelievers will accept the truth and the fact that Jesus taught many great things in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, although many times they get it wrong. It would be good if they would actually read the Sermon on the Mount. But they acknowledge that Jesus taught a great deal of good things. But millions have trusted his word, and the only explanation to that is this, that either Jesus was conceited or demented, or he was in fact truly God. For only God can say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And that is precisely what Jesus declared himself to be when he uttered those words. God and man in one person. He is the one who is eternal. His word, therefore, is eternal. And there can be no doubt of that fact. He came from eternity. He took upon himself a humanity. And in the time and place that he lived, he was, in fact, God in the flesh. He is the Christ, who is the Son of God, eternal, now in the heavens, awaiting his return. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For him, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, for he is the eternal God. His words are eternal, and that is why we should listen to them. We had better listen to the words that Jesus gave us. He had a great deal to say, but because of whom he is Lord. And as Lord, he speaks to us. He knows us. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows what's going on in our minds at this very moment. He knows our future. For he is Lord, the Alpha and the Omega revealed in Scripture, the beginning and the end. Our lives are an open book to him. He knows us and all that we are, our sin, our need of salvation from our sin. Nothing escapes the watchful eye of the one who says, my word will never pass away. He has overcome evil for us, and he made an atonement for us upon the cross of Calvary. The word of God reveals that truth in the gospel, in which he conquers death and is raised from death by the great power of the resurrection unto eternal life. And those who trust in him are redeemed, and they alone are able to say, I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because Jesus lives forever. This Jesus, who is eternal, is the very foundation of our faith. And the only comfort for us in life and in death. He is changeless amid the changing scenes of time. His truth is timeless. You hear people today saying, we have to make the church relevant to today because we're awfully modern, you know. And when the Bible was written, it was, they don't say it, but they mean it. It was old-fashioned. It's got to be brought up to date. No, the Bible doesn't need to be brought up to date. We need to be brought up to date to the timeless truth of the Word of God. Because a faith that rests in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be shaken. That faith that rests in the timeless truth of Scripture is a faith that will withstand every assault, every test. Nothing will stop it, because heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will not. And if Jesus' word is eternal, then our faith in his unfailing word cannot fail. Our faith will not pass away, because it's really not our faith, it's the faith that he gave us to believe. It's the gift of faith that he gave us that we might receive him. And that faith that he has given that unites us to him will be able to connect us to him and his word forever. Now, today, the providers of religion are calling for new faith. To the church, they are calling out and saying, embrace the wisdom and the theology of the world. And that's pretty easy to define. It is the view that humans are basically good and no one is really lost. After all, if we really work together, good things can be accomplished. And then we redefine sin. No longer is sin an active rebellion against God, but it's merely ignorance. What used to be called sin is now called sickness, something that you can apply some medicine to and you can get better from it, and you can work hard, and by creative living you can make inroads and things will be better in the long run. And the world today is defining salvation as liberation from oppressive social structures and so on and so forth. That's the message of the world. People talk about adjusting the eternal truths of the Word of God to fit this temporal world. The result is a religious confusion that we have not seen in years, and no one knows what to believe anymore. The old faith of our fathers, as we sing of it, is considered out of date like a bad carton of milk. You know what you do when your outdated carton of milk is sitting there and it starts to go bad? You get rid of it and you adjust and you get a new one. And they're saying that about the gospel. The old gospel will not do. We need to adjust to the modern time, and the culture of the world has invaded the church. The church now embraces humanistic teaching in its preaching, and humanistic teaching that tells us how we can overcome failure and grief and sadness by our techniques rather than resting in the eternal truths of the Word of God. The church has bowed to the idol of relativism. We no longer believe in things that are absolute, but everything is relative. We don't even believe in truth anymore in some churches. And in some churches, instead of the preaching of the gospel and the truth of the Word of God, we share our feelings with one another. We idolize opinions while we ignore the very truth that's revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. The church has succumbed as well to materialism. Everything is regarded to be a product that is sold and packaged as we try to sell the gospel and make it appealing to consumers. We mass market the merchandise of the gospel, hoping that if we catch the attention of people, that they'll buy into it and that they will become a part of the church. You see, the church has in many places fallen victim to the pragmatism of the world, which says this: if it works, it must be right. That's pragmatism. If it works, it must be right. If we get big crowds, it must be right. And so throughout the church in many places, you will see that in place of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel, we now listen to stories. We hear how the gospel or how the church or how the Bible worked for me, and testimonies abound in many places to what happens in a person's life when they turn their life around and overcome their depression. Things turn around and they now have new and good or better feelings. But the problem with all of this is that our thinking has shifted, and the thinking of the church at large has shifted away from the God of Scripture to focus upon ourselves. We need to come back to this word of Jesus, which says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We as the Church of Jesus Christ must always believe the unchanging word of the Lord. His word is our only hope. Truth is truth. Christianity is Christianity as it is revealed in Scripture alone, and nothing can alter or change the eternal word of the gospel and the faith that was once delivered for all the saints. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a new faith or a new gospel. There's only one gospel revealed in Scripture, the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less than the historic faith of our fathers, which rested in the infallible word, can serve the needs of the church and the people of God today. We must remain steadfast in that word. And if the church at large has departed from the word of God, it must return to that word which cannot pass away, and to the faith which demands that we stand on the solid ground of the unchanging, unfailing, timeless truth of the word of God. It's the timeless truth that God rescues sinners by amazing grace that's going to bring about the harvest of sinners for the sake of the gospel and build the church of Jesus Christ. Only the timeless truth of God's eternal word will give you security for this life and the ability to face the end of life and to enter into eternity. For only the timeless truth of God's eternal word will give us strength and salvation in the year that's coming. Let us remember as we enter this new year, the ever living, never changing, timeless truth of the eternal word of God. Rest in it. Trust it. Believe it. And find your strength and your hope that you derive from it to be the source that you need to serve the living God. Remember, when heaven and earth will pass away, and it will, there is a day that is coming when Jesus will return and heaven and earth will be completely renovated and renewed. His word will remain, as will all who believe it. And all who believe it will enter the new heavens and the new earth with Jesus forever. Because Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's our footing. That's our foundation. That's our hope for the coming year, for the future, for eternity, for every believer in Jesus Christ. Amen.